Buenos Nachos, amigos, and welcome to Record Breakers, a music podcast where a group of friends gather together, share music with each other, an album at a time, like a book club for music. I'm Petey Rave, in living color, as it were, a full Technicolor spectrum. Here with me is my team, my squad, my crew, my ensemble. We've got David.
Hi, I'm David. Welcome to the Record Breakers podcast.
Mm-hmm. We've got Matt.
It's a me.
And we've got Brett.
Your one-stop shop for Willem Dafoe talk.
Yes. we're here.
Walk and jump scare, I tell you.
We're here to talk about music. We're here to talk about an album. And the provider of the album this week is David. David, what have you got for us this week?
I've got an album from a band that is very near and dear to my heart. I remember when I first saw them, Little DJM cried tears of joy when he first saw this band at a very young age. And I'm talking about the Brooklyn-based rock band Living Color. And we're not going to do the album Vivid with the song Cult of Personality because that's too easy. Turns out they're still around. They're still playing. They're still touring. And I'm going to pick their most recent album from 2017. And the album is called Shade.
Shade. I wish I had the fan.
Shade. I don't have a fan with me.
Let's talk about expectations. Matt, what expectations did you have coming into this album?
None, really. I mean, the name sounded very, very vaguely familiar, but did not really ring a bell other than that. And the album cover wasn't super helpful either. Like, it could be a lot of different things. If you're going by that album cover alone.
Mm-hmm. Brett, what were your expectations coming into this album?
I mean, I knew ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da. I've heard that. I've probably heard more than just off of that album, but I wouldn't be able to like talk about it with any knowledge. Of an age of CDs that lived in the back of cars. I'm sure one of my buddies had more than they went to Cosmic Harvey's in Kokomo and picked it up. But like, this is an album that I did not know existed. If you would have asked me like, what do you think they're up to? I would have probably been completely wrong. So
Doug Wimbush, the bass player, hung around with the Rolling Stones for a little bit. Vernon Reid has a nonprofit and he's playing session stuff. Corey Glover, the vocalist, actually got to play in Jesus Christ Superstar. Holy crap. And yeah, but in between all of those, Living Color, they're still going.
Yeah.
Did any of them play with Iron Butterfly at any point?
No, but George Lynch. like, man, that, yeah. Yeah. Disciples of Verity. I did not know about that. So yeah. I'm going to this hole will get dug deeper.
Yeah.
there's a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah.
Still.
Let's talk about this album musically. David, how would you describe this album musically? What would be the themes and elements you bring up?
I do think that Living Color, they do have a style. They are very much in the hard rock vein. I believe Vernon Reid is a pretty good riff meister in that vein. Corey Glover has made it their own. And I think this album is a very good picture of what Living Color's mission statement has been since the beginning. It is a very in-your-face rock album that is unapologetically outspoken about things, about life, about social issues, and it can be maybe a little off-putting for some, but I'm okay with that. I think the band themselves is okay with that. And if you don't mind listening to some things and getting some good riffs and a really good singer, I think you might find something you enjoy.
Mm-hmm. Matt, how would you describe this album musically?
It was pretty hard rock, heavy metal-ish, but not horribly so. A lot of 12-bar blues songs I noticed, but it actually took me a while to pick up on it. I don't know what they did, but it was not that obvious. Oh, look, another 12-bar blues song, you say. Color me surprised that you get with some other artists. And honestly, from the vocals, the thing, probably just because we listened to it fairly recently, I was kind of getting Blues Traveler vibes from the vocals.
Did not expect that one. If you gave me a list of 100 things that you would describe against these vocals, I would have not thought Blues Traveler.
Yeah.
Like a cross between John, what's his name, and Axl Rose, maybe.
I would put good money on John Popper and Axl Rose saying, no, we took from Corey Glover. It's the other way around.
I'd put money on that. More power to them all. I am not familiar with the chronology, and I will not make any attempts to indicate otherwise.
Yeah. Brett, how would you describe the song musically? What would be the themes and elements you would pick up on?
Okay, there are a lot of different kinds of rocking and rolling that are done on this album. I also noticed the 12-bar blues being done. But those turnarounds were not things that I normally play, unlike previous albums that we've listened to. Yeah, but they actually did a really good job. So, like, there are songs that gave me, like, tastes of all sorts of different kinds of songs. Like, you had some 80s metal type songs that sounded extremely, like, that era of shredding. There were times where I was like, man, that kind of reminds me of Pantera. There's like two different kinds of the blues that show up on this, if you're going to call it the blues.
That's why they call it the blues.
I mean,
I guess.
Elton would know. But the production was really good. Like, you know, there's something about this band doing unison guitar and bass, like licks that stood out. Like it was this like really fun thing, like long sustained bends. Like you have a few covers, and if your lineup of cover songs include the three artists that were covered on this album, you're doing all right. Yeah. But it's something that not all of us can get away with covering. I don't know how they did that Marvin Gaye song, so, but we'll get into that. But the one thing that I really was like that was hands down the thing that got me was this is a man in his 50s singing in a range that does not seem like age has done anything to. Like, look at any old rocker and watch how, as they age and go on their big tours, they tune down half a step, then another half a step, and they still can't hit the notes. Like, this isn't keeping up. Everything is, like, does not seem like, other than it's fresh and is recorded in a modern way, like, these are the same. This is a time machine album. Yeah. Vocally. Like there are things that I've like,
he hasn't lost much.
Yeah. No. I don't care who you are. If you're hitting those high notes and holding them and they don't sound like a piece of sandpaper being rubbed against your vocal cords. I was blown away by the vocals. Like that was not expecting that. It was like, this could have been a good album without that. But man, that was above and beyond.
Yeah. Yeah. The vocals are undeniable. Corey Glover is a, his vocals are just, they're undeniable and like, unforgettable. Like it's one of those things they had their hit. They had their hit, but one of the big reasons why that song is so like iconically memorable is because there's I hardly anything of anything at all can like it sounds like he sings. Hardly anybody sings like he does. A lot of people sing as well, maybe better, but the way he sings and how good he sings is just something unique. And this album has plenty of that. This album has a lot of the many different types of rock and roll, with like, of course, mixing in the blues and the even like touches of like electronic weirdness things, which were really fun and added to kind of like the unpredictability. Some like stretches of some really like punky stuff. But like, yeah, this is definitely their harkens back to their contribution to the late 80s, early 90s hard rock scene. But like modernized in a nice way, but it definitely is, it evokes their prime era in many ways. But it does have some really nice touches, and it definitely, if we're talking about themes and elements, definitely touches on modern life. This is definitely about now. It sounds, if you're listening to just the music, it feels like it's maybe from another time. But if you listen to the words, you listen to the message, it's about now. Like, it is definitely about now. And I like that. I like, we'll get into, now let's get into songs. Cause there's a couple of songs that it's like, especially the covers, which are an interesting thing. Let's get into songs. David, what would be some of the key tracks to zero in on?
Petey, I'm going to totally break character here. And I'm going to pick the opening track, Freedom of Expression. I love the opportunities I get to actually mention the opening track on this podcast. And I feel like this is a really good in-your-face opener. Like, listen to us, pay attention, you're not going to ignore us. We're Living Color, and you're going to listen to what we have to say. I really feel like the song Program is probably the centerpiece of the album. It's the fourth track. I think that is just about as strong of a rock song as you can ask for right now in this decade, in this era. The song Who's That has an organ and a horn on top of a great riff and a really, really strong vocal from Corey Glover that is just dripping with soul that I absolutely loved. And also the song Invisible. The entire album has messages that should be heard, but I think the song Invisible is the one that really stands out. And yes, as Brett mentioned, the cover of Inner City Blues, the Marvin Gaye classic, is one to be heard.
You could do that wrong so many ways.
Yeah.
They did it right.
Yeah, they did it right. Matt, what would be some of the key tracks for you?
Preaching Blues. This is the Robert Johnson cover, which I didn't realize until after the fact. And I don't know, maybe that's why I was subliminally drawn to it. The guitar was great on this song. The fills, they kind of had this... Stevie Ray Vaughan's version of Voodoo Child, he uses some scale, and I haven't taken the time to figure out what it is, in some of the fills, and this had that same style to it. And there's also a synth that I guess is uncredited, at least in the official notes, and Brett, this is what you've turned me into. Uh-huh. Now I have this weird, just this weird database of tones. This one is from Chick Corea Electric Band, the tune Electric City, and it's his synth on that. Just this kind of mellow, not quite electric piano, but it kind of there. Who's that? It immediately grabbed my attention with this, like it has this little intro, and then there's what I would describe as a New Orleans trumpet, little thing, interstitial first, and then later on you get that awesome organ and horn section, and that's always good. Glass Teeth, this one, it kind of surprised me. Like it was a pretty good hook. And it surprised me because it's not really a genre that I gravitate toward. It's a little on the heavier side. But every time I listened to it, this was one that just grabbed my attention. And I don't know why, but there you go.
I think, yes, I'll get to that. Yes.
Okay.
Brett, what would be some of the key tracks for you?
Well, I mean, the covers are good. Like, that's what you want out of a cover. It adds something to it. But Who Shot Ya? That flute is on point. Let me tell you, the flute. Blackout, there's a little bit of Wicca-chicka, and I love a little Wicca-chicka. Like, there is some copious use of wah pedal in all of wah pedal usage, not just the kind where you bend a note and push your foot down and make it go, like, yeah, it was great. Pattern in Time. Yo, do you like squealies? Everybody loves squealies. But what about squealies that then you take the trim arm and you go, wee, 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 wee. Like, that effective. Like, man, that was great. There's pick slides, like everybody's favorite, like the pick slide.
Is that what that's called? I've always wondered what that's called. It's just like, called a pick slide.
You could, I don't know if there's a
guitar, action. So.
Like, and I don't run in. I've never seen like written out sheet music that says drag your pick down on it like that, but I'm sure there's probably a musical name for that. That's more than just a pick drag or something.
I may have a document that explains how to notate that in sheet music.
Yeah, guitar sheet music is weird. They don't even write it it's in really the weird. Key that it yeah it's the, yeah or not in key but on the octave. Make it so that you read it.
Yeah,
because yeah, it also, hang out above.
Trying really hard to come up with a Squealy Dan joke, I mean, and nothing's coming to mind other than explaining that that's what I'm thinking about.
Yeah.
You know?
Good enough.
But, hey, everybody come up with your own Skunk Baxter joke and then, like, credit it to old Squiggly here. Glass Teeth. Part of the things that, like, now I'm going to say some words, and I mean it musically, and not qualitatively, but there are some chord changes that occur on this song that reminded me of Guar. Like, they when you think they're going to go low, they go high. And, like, because, like, I'm following along, and, like, I'm expecting them to do, like, a garden variety chord progression, and then all of a sudden they're, like, they're going up, and then they're going down. And, like, yeah, there was just, like, it fooled me, like, every time. Like, I was like, ah, it, like, it's really great when, like, you know, that ain't a Guar song, but yeah. it does things that, like, man, it just, I was not expecting the influences like that.
Yeah. Yeah, as far as, like, tracks, I would say one of the things that caught my attention. I'll show. Yeah, Program is the centerpiece, very much so. I would say I was surprised that I don't know if it's on the physical album or in the liner notes, but there's no credit towards the rapper. I don't know if it. All I can see is it's supposedly that Scarface of the Ghetto Boys, who goes uncredited. But the only thing I see online to that effect is that he is the person at the beginning going like, who's that band? So yeah. I don't know if I don't know if that those are his bars as well. that you hear after the solo, but they're some pretty sick bars. Followed by appropriately enough, the Who Shot Ya cover, which was an interesting taking that song into a different context, kind of a song, kind of a cover, which I think probably. Some of the best covers do that as a goal, which is, you know, take a song, bring it into either another style or even just recontextualize. I really liked the energy and the pacing of a Pattern in Time, the feel of that one, and just a great musicianship. And yeah, I love I believe it was in Who's That, the horns making an appearance, the heavy metal horns. They're just a fantastic appearance and a fantastic, just kind of catches you off guard. Just quality album, quality tracks. Let's get bring it back around the horn. Talk about some conclusions. Talk about some conclusive thoughts. Matt, what will be your conclusion at the end of the day?
This album, everything here was extremely well executed. Just really well done. Great performances out of everybody. It's still not my cup of tea. There were certainly things that I was drawn to in this album, and so I think I'm getting closer to liking the heavier rock and metal. I'm not quite there, but this was another good step in that direction, I think. But still a little not quite yet what I want in my usual rotation.
Brett, what would be your conclusion on this album as a whole?
This is one of those albums that reminds me that if it weren't for this show, I would have probably never heard this. And there are things on this album that I will want to show. Hey, listen to this the next time I see one of my buddies, which, you know, who sees buddies anymore. That's right. There are things about this album, like there are some effects that were being used that I'm going to have to figure out. They sound like certain effects that are when you turn the knob on certain things and they get all weird and glitchy, but good. There are things that I'm going to dig into on this, but if you told me that I was going to be listening to an album of middle-aged men who had a hit in the first Bush administration, I would no matter who it was, I would never have expected that I would get the quality of album that I listened to for this episode. And while it's not exactly everything that I normally am into, there's a lot here. It's dense. And just I didn't get to say this about the vocals, but the you can hear everything enunciated in the vocals. You can hear everything played by the guitar, and you can hear that bass keeping up. It is you can sit and you can listen and be like, oh, you don't have to dig through the mix to find it. And modern recording, I like it.
Yes.
It makes me search for what's that synth noise?
Yes. this is a nice example of when it's properly maintained, you can still have it, 20 years after your prime. And Living Color still have it. This album was really enjoyable. It makes me realize that I need to go back and properly consume the album, because that would have been a cool session, because I don't think I've actually sat down and listened to that album in its entirety. So I'll probably consume that album as well.
I highly recommend their 1990 album, Time's Up.
Mm-hmm. I definitely have that on my agenda. I appreciate also the use of the word shade, just because, and I love the art. It's just all really evocative and it's pretty fantastic. But yeah, this album is just a great showcase of what these guys can still do, and how much they have not lost a step, how little of a step they have lost.
Can we talk about that album art?
Yeah,
that is some good use of the color purple.
Yes.
Yeah, it really is.
Like, yeah. And it was this album that told me that on my Android phone, like when you play, the little player thing on your drop down menu uses the primary color as the background and the secondary color from the icons, they pull it from the album art. Yeah. And it is dead on. And I was like, man, there's some awesome purple buttons on my screen.
Yeah. Yeah, it is fantastic. Just the artwork is really cool. It's I would want to credit, I believe it's a Washington area artist, Anika Robinson, is the person that created this art, and it's just pretty, really top notch art, a really top notch piece. But yeah, David, what would be your conclusion on this album as a whole?
I would say that maybe for maybe one or two tracks, this is a really great album. And I like when there are music acts and music artists who are able to show that they aren't just a one-hit wonder. They didn't just put out one good song and that was it. And Living Color, if you have any familiarity with their catalog, the quality of this album should not surprise you. But at the same time, Living Color kind of have this weird place in music history where they're this strange, unique entity that doesn't really fit in anywhere. Everyone kind of respects who they are and what they do and how good they are at it, but they kind of don't really fit in anywhere. You know, in some ways that there's a lot about this album and this band and their general mission statement that really hits close to home. I don't always fit in everywhere. I don't always fit in with many people in many places. I don't always get included in things, kind of like Living Color, kind of being a little entity all their own. But I really admire that about them because they don't really apologize for who they are. And to see that they're still capable of doing what they're doing at this point, unapologetically, it's very inspiring. And I think that this was a really enjoyable album. It was an invigorating album for me personally. These guys have always been very special to me, and I'm glad to see that they've still got it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those are our thoughts on Living Color Shade. Pretty fantastic album. Now we get to the main event of the evening. We get to the moment we've all been waiting for. We get to our haiku reviews, where we sum it all up in poetic form. Do the 575. Yeah, let's check it out. Let's get down to the nitty gritty. Haiku numero uno. Matt, what is your haiku?
Compelling lyrics, impressive performances, bit heavy for me.
Brett, what is your haiku?
A few fun covers, rock and roll with a message, vocals that hold up.
Mm-hmm. My haiku review, epic rock legends have some things they need to say. Chop still back it up. And of course, last but not least, David, what is your haiku?
If rock still mattered, I would recommend this band to everybody.
Mm-hmm. I still recommend this band to everybody. Yeah. we recommend it to all of you, at least to check it out, listen to this album on our Spotify playlist. Play Record Breakers, the home game. Do your due diligence and your due diligence, as it were. Also on that Spotify playlist will be next week's record. And it will be provided by Brett. Brett, what have you got for us next week?
Well, we got a little album from 1976 by just another band out of Massachusetts. We're going with the self-titled album from Boston.
Yes.
Mm.
From North Boston.
We're going to learn about
Massachusetts.
Where our Tom Scholz Rockman gear came from, Petey. Because we got an inventor on the next album.
All the way from Massachusetts. I look forward to that next week, but that'll be next week, and this is this week. And if you can, of course, find us all over the internet. David is at Call Me DJM. Matt is at Emmerdick W. Brett is at HibbyDibbyBrett. I'm at PD Rave. The show's at 4 Record Breakers. That's the number 4 Record Breakers. RecordBreakersPodcast.com. RecordBreakersPodcast@gmail.com is the email. Rebelly.net for this and other shows. Rebelly TV on YouTube and on Twitch. We record this live on Twitch. You can watch us be actually kind of a little ahead of the game, because guest episodes kind of got us a little ahead of the curve. So you can be streets ahead, as it were.
I might not.
No. Yes. You never know. And on that Twitch, we're doing even more live streaming as well. We have got a schedule up. We're doing our new D&D show. Through the Tomes. We have our usual Astroneer Thursdays. So a lot of fun stuff. I'm probably adding more content in the future, maybe random streams otherwise. Who knows? But yeah, follow that channel. You can catch us every time we go live. And join the conversation and hang out.
Email Petey with your thoughts on Willem Dafoe.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, you can find us all over Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, SoundCloud, a bunch of different places. Like, share, subscribe, do all the things. Until next time, hasta los huevos.
Toodaloo.
Hashtag
podcast, baby.
Found Luke?
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.